Hey tribe, it's Nixie Marie. You're listening to New Earth, a podcast where each week we explore the relationship between spirituality and sustainability and how these topics play an important role in the evolution of humankind. Together, we aim to remember our connection with Mother Nature to heal ourselves and save our planet. Hello, Earthlings. Thank you so much for being here on this journey as we co-create the new Earth together. Happy August, Leo season. Happy birthday to any Leos out there. And we have the Lionsgate portal. We've got a lot of energy. I'm feeling this fire energy, which I love as a Sagittarius. And this cosmic energy. And we're actually going to be taking a cosmic journey on the podcast this month. We're going to be diving into and exploring metaphysical perspectives of some of the challenges that we are facing in the world today. We're bringing in and calling up our spiritual tool belt to access a deeper meaning to life on Earth. On today's episode, I chat with Rohini Marathi, an Akashic Records specialist, and has a very fascinating childhood. Born into a spiritually driven life in Tehran, Iran, where her father ran the only Hindu temple in the city, she and her family in her formative years traveled through India, devoted to a yogic life full of spiritual studies and meditation, and a massive religious military upheaval in Iran altered her life path. Her father's temple was seized, and her family fled to the United States in 1989 as refugees. Can you guys even imagine? This uprooting caused her naturally a very massive personal shift from a spiritually oriented existence to a material oriented one, disrupting Rohini's connection to her higher self and evaporating many deep understandings from her childhood. After a very long journey through losing one of her children to reclaiming her spiritual sovereignty, she found the Akashic Records. And so today she focuses her work on those new on their spiritual path and those who want to become teachers of the Akasha. Her work with the Akashic Records started with channeling messages for clients, but has transitioned into teaching people how to do it themselves. Rohini and I had a lot of fun today. We chatted about how you yourself can access the Akasha to help guide you through challenges in your life. She also really shares much more of a simple approach to the Akasha and how you might be accessing it without even knowing you are. So grab some tea, tune into this fun, loving podcast episode, grab a comfy pillow, enjoy, and let's welcome Rohini to the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I hope you are amazing. I am sitting with a very bubbly spirit today. I'm really excited to speak with you. We've got Rohini Marathi on the show. Welcome. How are you? So good to see you. welcome.
Thank you so much. I am doing pretty good. And I'm really excited to be here and see where our conversation goes.
Well, as I mentioned, you know, she's an amazing Akashic Records reader and healer and has been on quite a journey. I had some fun really digging into your story. So I'm excited to see what we get into today. And before we get into that, though, I always love to ask my guests these questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. How do you currently connect to the land that you live on?
So we actually just moved to this land and we've been connecting by cleaning it up and preparing it for fire season more than anything, learning about the native plants, what they require, Yeah, but it's been interesting. It's been scary, fun, and interesting.
And where did you, where are you living right now, where you're preparing for fire season?
Yeah, so I moved from San Francisco to Northern California, to Nevada City, which is Nicene land territory.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful here, but terrifying.
Well, I actually come from Topanga, so I know all about fire season. We have been evacuated multiple times, and we had a fire in our backyard, and it is really like frightening, the energy of fire, but it also is very activating, you know, and it really sort of, it has some medicine that comes with it when it's around. Yeah. So as scary as fire season is, like, I would just say, be prepared, like have a prep kit. 'Cause I personally didn't have that when we first initially had gotten evacuated, and it was really intense, like why I didn't have this kind of prepared kit, especially you have kids, like we were talking earlier. So anyways, I totally hear you and feel you. It's, and you know, our climate just keeps shifting, and I think, you know, it's going to be, we'll see what happens this year, but I'll hold your beautiful home in a bubble, as we all will. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. I know it's terrifying. We actually got our fire kit together.
Oh, good.
Last week.
You guys are already on it then.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It never, though, like when you're getting evacuated, you almost, I personally like froze, and I was like, I don't even know what to pack. I don't even know what to get. Like, and then you go through the process of, if I never saw these things again, how would it make me feel? Like, what do I really need? And it does give you that check-in of like, what's really important. So yeah, I feel you on all levels with that. But
yeah, that definitely happened, where everything does come into perspective and it can be lost at any moment, right?
It's kind of
an incredible thing to go through, and I'm blessed for that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, next question for you. So are there any current animals or plants or any spirits that are currently speaking to you, and what do you think they're telling you?
Oh, that's really good. I think butterflies. I have been connecting so much with butterflies here. It's incredible. And I generally do connect with butterflies. Their life is generally pretty short, but they go through so much. And they transform from like this tiny little fuzzy worm to this beautiful winged creature that is so illuminating to anyone who sees it, you know? So it's like, I've been connecting to butterflies in that way, but just the representation of rebirth and, you know, stepping into your own power, like getting out of that cocoon. I've been stuck in a cocoon for a really long time, trying to figure out what and who I am, especially after like the trauma that I went through. So it's like, it's been really difficult coming out of the chrysalis, you know? So I've been looking at butterflies a lot and being like, I can do that too.
As you said that, I looked out the window and there was a butterfly that flew by. So I think that's some good confirmation. I just went to the botanical gardens. I'm in Puerto Vallarta in Mexico, and there's a gorgeous botanical gardens here. And there were so many butterflies, and my mother has like a butterfly tattoo. And I just feel, you know, I think I spoke on this, was it butterfly? No, hummingbirds. We were talking about hummingbirds, which is very like, I feel like they have similar energy.
Yeah.
But these symbols of like transformation and the times that we're in are so prevalent in nature, you know, like the butterfly transformation, coming out of the cocoon, and people been calling what, you know, we're all going through the COVID cocoon. And I'm like, okay, I can roll with that. You know, it's like this transformational process that we're in is so much like the butterfly. And, you know, I totally relate, and that's beautiful. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Thanks.
So first of all, I was, you know, digging into your story. I told you I'm really fascinated by, you know, everything that you've been going through and growing through and cocooning out of your butterfly. You seem to have a very fascinating history coming from Iran, and at a very young age being introduced to the ancient teachings of the yogic path and as a Hare Krishna. I would love for you to tell us, you know, what it was like having that spiritual foundation as a young child.
Well, I mean, at the time it was normal and everything else seemed very strange. But it was the best. I had such a good time when I was a kid. I remember a lot of it because it was really fun for me. And I just enjoyed being around all the teachings. I enjoyed the people that came through. We were able to travel all through India. We lived in Iran and my father had a temple. Sorry, taking a couple steps back before. And this temple was amazing. It was in the middle of the city. We had like weekly gathering, prepare like large meals once a week and go distribute them to the homeless and just like meditate and clean. And like, it was just like so much fun. And I just played outside. It was like the best. And and on top of that, we also got to travel all through India where my father would go speak at different temples and got to sit with a lot of different gurus and spiritual teachers. And it's just like, it felt like being in the in crowd a little bit, you know. I don't even know how else to say that, because I didn't know there was such a thing until we moved to the US and it was like, oh, I'm not in the in crowd. People don't do this all the time and they're not like, they're not interested in this. And I am the weird one. How do I fit in now? You know?
Sure.
But yeah, the stories, everything. I had a really good time being in that world as a young child up until 8.
Yeah. It is rare being in the States and really so many of my guests, even that I've had on, you know, it usually the spiritual awakening process or anyone who kind of maybe, I feel like we go one of two ways. If we grow up with a spiritual family, we sort of like resist it. And at least a lot of friends that I know, like grew up with hippie parents and then they resist this, you know, wisdom or way of life. And then they like come to it later in life. Or the other version is like, didn't grow up with it at all, had the most square parents ever. And then something happens and all of a sudden you're like blasted off into the ethers and you feel like, you know, what did I believe my whole life? And your whole world is like rocked. So it's cool hearing your story of really being in, you know, something that I think we often try to be, I would say, in the States. Like everyone's sort of hungry for that authentic connection to the true path. So do you feel like those teachings have really anchored you and supported you in your current work that you do?
Absolutely. I would not be able to believe any of the work that I do if I didn't have, or that's what I'm assuming at least, if I didn't have that foundation. But, you know, I do have to go back and mention too, I did say like, I had a great time as a child, but after I moved to the US, I did reject it for a really long time because it was embarrassing to say you were this or that. I used to like lie and say, oh, I'm Catholic or I'm Christian or whatever, just so I could fit in with everybody else. Cause I was already a foreigner, you know, like I was already an ESL and like, I didn't speak English that well. I was already being made fun of. And then that layer on top of it was even more embarrassing. So it took me until like really, I secretly was engulfed in it at home. But when I went out to the world, it took me until like probably 30 years old. I'm 40 now. So it took a long time to go back to it. It's very fascinating in that way.
Yeah. Well, I think no matter what, too, a lot of us that are in this generation, we're really getting distracted and falling off our path and have those periods of, you know, forgetting, not remembering and needing the opportunity to really remember who we are, you know? And I think that that's probably a bit of our human experience as well, you know, forgetting, remembering, you know, going through that journey. And I can really relate with that on a lot of levels because for me, I just always had like a really awesome connection with the earth at a very young age that felt really spiritual and felt, you know, I always would go outside and be like, nature is my church. Like, I don't need anything, you know? And then those high school years, those like pivotal, like weird growth years, just, you know, numbed it all down, didn't want anything to do with those intuitive like gifts or abilities. So I think a lot of us have been going through that process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know I'm not alone.
You're not alone, sister. You are not. I know. It is. It's unfortunate, but you know, I think we're on a good path. I don't know. This world that we're in is so wild, and I often go back and forth with it, but kind of inspired by, you know, people who stay true to their path, right? I mean, we can easily get shifted off and fall and get derailed, but you know, you've navigated back towards yourself and you found something that really aligns for you. So how did you like get to that place where you knew the Akashic Records was really something that you were going to be teaching, be studying, being a steward of? You know, tell us that journey. She took a deep breath, so I feel like it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, I have not accepted it yet. I haven't, because I keep going back and forth like, oh, I know I'm supposed to do this thing, but oh, there's like so much that comes with it, you know, and there's like carrying a lot of people. And I don't know if I'm emotionally capable of that right now. It's engulfing myself in a lot of information, and I don't know if I'm ready to continue doing that. And it's also like, oh man, I am a commitment phobe. Like, I don't want to be in a commitment with anything, even though I'm married, I have kids, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, for career wise, or to say like, I'm going to be doing this forever, or like, this is what I'm doing, is like terrifying to me. Yeah. So I'm still not really fully taking it in. And it wasn't until like earlier this week, maybe even 2 days ago, actually, where I was like, I accept the mission fully. Like, it was really strange, but it had to, I've gone through a lot to get to that point. And when I first came across the Akashic Records, was when I was trying to heal from after a big trauma. And as you know, like, you read a part of the story, but my infant daughter passed away at like 2 months old, and it like spiraled me down. And through that process, so the strangest thing happened. This woman who works with my husband's sister's coworker, who he works in construction and she does like the design work for buildings, started having dreams about us. And they were like, it was incredible. The podcast that I host actually was only started so I could tell the story of these dreams, because it's pretty insane. So if anyone wants to dive in, like, go for it. They're there. But after that point, like, the spiritual world started opening up to me again, and I started meditating more. And one day in meditation, I asked, because it's really hard to meditate when you're in pain, when your heart's in pain, you know? So it took a lot to get to that point where I'm like, I'm just going to sit with myself and my feelings, and I'm just going to feel it, and I'm going to process it. And one day in meditation, I asked, how can I heal? Like, how can I heal this really big wound? And, you know, ultimately the answer is you're never going to be healed from something, but it's the question should really be, how can I grow from this wound, you know? Wow. And from that point on, I started seeing the words Akashic Records everywhere. And at first, like, I was like, well, what is that? You know, like, if it seemed familiar, but also like really weird. And like, just growing up in like a spiritual, like, family, and like being in that world, like, there's a lot of discernment built for I bet. Modalities that can't be seen, you know? Yes, so I'm like, it's new agey. I'm not going to do it. I'm really not into it. Like, I kept ignoring it, and it kept like popping up. And eventually I gave in. I'm like, fine. I did a Google search, and like, I was just like really weirded out and confused. Like, what is this? Why do I keep seeing this? So I got curious, because I'm like, really, let's get to the bottom of it, because there are so many contradicting things about it on the internet. And also, like, out of this world, like, there was no, like, I didn't feel a connection with what people were saying about the Akashic Records or whatever. I was like, that's not it. You know, that's not, I don't know what you're doing, but that's not it, you know? Yeah. And I'm not putting anyone down. Everyone's like at their own level. And like, of understanding something, and everyone's investigating in their own way. So I'm not putting it down like that. I just didn't connect with any of the words. So I wanted to investigate. And I did, and I read a whole bunch of books. I took a whole bunch of like courses online, still very confused. And it wasn't until I finally was able to sit and access my Akashic records, that I started learning what it was. Yes, I learned some things from other people, but most of the things I learned from other people have dissipated at this point, because what I've been doing now is I'm going into the Akasha, or just vibrating the frequency of the Akasha is what I like to say. And and that's why, like, to go back to your original question, like, I haven't really accepted the responsibility of being a teacher or like a knower or whatever of the Akasha, because it's so large, and like you'll never know everything in this lifetime, at least. It takes like probably like thousands of lifetimes.
I feel like I'm just listening with open ears right now, because I kind of feel a little bit of what you're experiencing, just based on, I was telling you, you know, earlier, I'm like, I'm having like this Akashic week, like everything's coming at me. I had this, you know, I've got questions that I want answered. And I'm like, who should I go? What sister do I need to call to support me with some of these things right now I'm going through? I was like, oh, you know, maybe I should get my girl who does Akashic records reading. And then I had both interviews this week. So maybe it just like sneaks in like that. And I'm definitely a skeptic as well. So for all of you skeptics out there that are listening, like, I think it's healthy to have that and to really discern, you know, take what's working for you. Don't take that other piece that doesn't resonate, because there's a lot of new age BS that is going on right now. And I have often like taken step backs with certain things and just really checked in with myself too and been like, mm-hmm. Is this really something that resonates with me, or is it just this like trendy thing that's, you know, a little going mainstream, which is nothing wrong with that. But like you said, we're all at different levels. So yeah. I'm feeling you on that whole entire story. And it's interesting, you know, just kind of relating in that way. But let's go back a little bit to the, like, what is the basics of Akashic Records? Because I'm curious. Clearly they're coming at me for a reason. Clearly they're coming on the podcast for a reason. And we've never really dove into the basics, like what they are. Is it the Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones, I believe? Or?
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. There's like a prayer that you have to say before you access them.
Sure.
That's all I know. So give it to me.
No, I get it. So that's how I was taught too. And that's actually the teachings of Linda Howe, who's popularized the Akashic Records in our modern society. But essentially, like, what the Akashic Records are, they're vibrational frequencies of everything that's kind of happened, is happening, and will happen. They're more like ledgers. You know, like, you know how you can hold your phone or whatever, and your energy interacts with that phone. That's like what the Akashic Records are. It's the interaction of the two things, the two energies within each other. And all of these little tiny things that happen get recorded, and not recorded in the same. So they're like literally ledgers with no emotions or anything applied. It's just everything that has happened, everything that has happening, and based on what we are choosing to happen and what has happened in the past, what might possibly happen. And the way we access these ledgers or these vibrational frequencies is through opening up our channels and changing the vibration of our body to that of the Akasha. And like this energetic frequency vibrates at a higher level than we do. And it, like, when I say higher level, I'm not like talking about 3D, 5D ascension, like none of that stuff. It's like, it's literally the measurement of frequency and energy. And what we do, and I like to bring this up a lot, because I love Nikola Tesla, and anyone who works with energy loves them too. I get it. But, you know, the whole key to the universe, the frequency, vibration and vibration, frequency. Oh my God, I'm forgetting the third one. What is wrong with me? I'm a little sick right now too.
Yeah. Totally takes your power. It's like, oh, when you're got something going on, it really takes your like, it really energy, does. Right? I feel like it's energy you want to say, but maybe I'm wrong.
Energy. Thank you. Okay. I've been there saying energy the whole time.
I'm like, I feel like my God. Right. We're on the same wavelength. We're working good together.
So what we're doing, we're pretty much becoming a phantom note. We are changing the frequency of our body to meet that of the Akasha so that we can access the information. And the way we access the information is like, it comes to everybody differently. So some people like see things, some people feel things, some people can just have like, I don't know, have a dream about it. It's different for everybody. But yeah, I like to always like go back to this point too, that the Akashic records aren't anything outside of ourselves. And I don't even like calling them the Akashic records. They only started getting called the Akashic records in the early 1900s. They were just referred to as Akash or Akasha, which means like ether, space above, like the dense energy of light, you know? And they've been used for like so long. Like Rishis and sitting at the foothills of the Himalayas who channeled the Vedas were using them, Tibetan monks, witches, like Moors, like Mayans, like it goes like centuries, Egyptians, like so many all around the world. So many people were like accessing this information and doing it via meditation and intention. Prayer or like saying a vibrational key is also helpful because our throat energy center is directly connected to that of the Akasha since it's a vibrational frequency. So we can connect by putting the intention and our words out there, if that makes any sense. I feel like I went in circles.
No, but that was really informative for me, especially. Today's podcast is brought to you by Clarity, the complete non-toxic, zero-waste, all-natural home cleaning solution, co-founded and created by yours truly. Clarity naturally cleans your home without using harmful chemicals, protects the environment with zero waste packaging, is convenient and cost-saving by delivering concentrates directly to your door, and best of all, it makes cleaning fun. It's simple and affordable to bring Clarity to your home. Grab one of our zero waste home cleaning kits to get you started, or the ready-to-go all-purpose bottle, and you have everything you need to remove toxic chemicals and plastics from your cleaning ritual. Sign up for a subscription to receive our concentrate refills, and you have everything you need without a trip to the grocery store. Simply visit Clarity, that's spelled Clarity.com, and use the promo code ECOTRIBE for your exclusive 10% off discount. Thank you so much for being part of this New Earth community and making our world a greener place. Okay, so if we're going back, because my question was around history, you know, when did this, I was going to ask you when this all came to be, because that's where I like to go into my like analytical side of my mind is, okay, was this just created by some, person, or was this something that really was rooted in ancient teachings? And it sounds like from what you just explained that it was.
Well, the Akashic realm is everything. So the way I like to explain it, which hopefully will make sense, is like, so at the beginning of time, all there was this vibrational frequency, and this vibrational frequency multiplied in all different ways, right?
Yeah.
So it's within the fabric of the universe. It's nothing that like humans created or anything. And it's something that humans are just naturally connected to. It's not outside of us. It's within us. It's around us. It's in every part of our being. And here's a good example of what the Akasha really is. So, you know, like when you're like walking down the street and, you know, you're just like enjoying the view and all of a sudden like your mind, you're not thinking about anything. And then like this really big, amazing idea comes to you and you're like, whoa, oh my gosh, that's amazing. How did I even think about that? Okay, have to remember it, have to remember it, have to remember it. And you start walking home and you're like, I'm going to remember. And then you go to open the door and right when you think about doing something, the idea is like totally gone.
Yep.
That is connecting to the Akashic records or the Akasha. Okay. What we are doing when we are like sitting and intentionally doing it is we're intentionally matching that frequency so that we can intentionally gain perspective, answers, whatever it may be that you're going in there for. It's just creating intention behind something that's already within and around you. Yeah.
What do you experience when you intentionally go into the Akasha?
Well, it just depends on the person, really. I've been teaching so many people, like it's like so many students by this point in time, and every single person has a different experience. So there are some people who are able to just get like a feeling, they feel like a shift or something like that. Some people don't even feel like anything is happening, but then they get these ideas coming at them, not knowing. And they're like, I'm not accessing anything. And they're like, they've written out like a book of like, like, yes, you are. Some people channel the information through playing music like that, the theta mind frame that comes in.
Or like art and creating. Is that something that?
Totally. Yeah. Like it's just about getting to that point in your mind when you are the observer and you're not the thinker. Like when you become that, it's easier to access the information. And that's like the whole point of meditation anyway. But when we are there, when we are becoming the observer, and then we can see what's coming into our spirit, into our thoughts or whatever, and then discerning whether it's us or if it's outside of us, which essentially really everything is.
Right.
Everything, right? But
everything is.
But that's when we can really intentionally access the information that's coming.
So what's the difference between being in a like alpha brainwave, theta, like different brain states while we're in meditation versus being in the Akasha?
Well, there's not much difference actually. When we're being in like the theta brainwave is what really helps us tune in to that information. And it's really about becoming the observer, because the theta brainwave enables us to do that, to kind of like step backwards just a little bit and not let our thinking mind take control.
You know what? I don't know if you've seen, I'm sure you have kids. So have you seen A Wrinkle in Time?
No.
Oh, wow. It's such a cute movie. I've seen it like four times because it's all about aligning your vibration to this. There's like this thing on the movie called the Tesla, I believe, and you align yourself to the frequency of love and then you can like travel all around the universe.
It's that sounds like the Akashic Records.
It's what I'm thinking of. I'm like, and Oprah's in it, of course. So it's a really, really good movie. So I was thinking of exactly that when you were kind of giving that picture of, you know, kind of remembering like when we tune ourselves to a certain frequency, then we can access certain things, like whatever we're trying to align ourselves to.
That is so cool. Yeah. I have to write this down and like watch it.
I'll send it to you. Awesome. Yeah. It's a great one. I think it's on Netflix or, you know, Amazon Prime or whatever. Like you can get every movie anywhere now at this point because movie theaters, which is so sad. I do want to go see a movie sometime.
I know. I love movie theaters too, so much.
Yeah.
Like especially the old ones where there's only like a few seats here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally feel you. Well, this is also fascinating. And I think with my, like this kind of newfound understanding, because I'm kind of like you, I like to like learn something and then throw the textbooks out the door.
Yeah.
And take what I need and take what really resonates. Like I went to design school and for fashion and I learned all this stuff and then had to like throw the books away and then start sewing all these different ways because it would allow me to be more in my authentic creativity. And maybe that is the stream of what this like higher realm or the Akasha that like I needed for myself. So maybe for those who are experiencing challenge or obstacles or trauma or something that's been really hard to navigate, how do you feel like the Akasha can really support them?
Oh my gosh, what a great question. I actually just wrote an article about this, but the Akasha and grief, just, they don't go hand in hand, but it's like such good medicine for someone going through trauma, because when you access the Akasha, like, and you really look in within yourself and you explore the universe and you see and realize the significance and insignificance, it has like such a healing factor to it, you know? And prior to my daughter passing away too, like, we went through horrible birth where I had a near death experience and I left my body. And when I left my body, like, it was seconds. Yeah. It wasn't even very long, but it felt like a long time.
Yeah.
There was this sense of like ultimate connection where it felt like, all energies, like all beings are the same being, but they have different aspects to them. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then when I came back, like, my body felt old and I felt like, oh, I'm not connected anymore. But going into the Akashic records feels that way, that ultimate love and connection that exists within the universe. And I feel like that is so healing to know you are not alone. It's so healing to know that, yes, this situation really freaking sucked, but it's, you can use it to grow, and to also know that it's okay if you're going to be sad, because you see all, you see all of the sadness, all of the beauty, you see it all at the same time. And there's like a real healing aspect to viewing it in that regard.
Yeah. You kind of brought me back to my, I remember years ago, I sat in a DMT ceremony, and that exact experience of like leaving the body and going into this infinite space that felt like where I came from. And it just felt like safe, kind of knowing that, and I can always remember like, oh, there, that is where I come from. There's nothing to fear once that side is revealed to you. It's actually what we fear is actually here on Earth, on this plane.
Yeah.
And I think that's where like struggle and obstacle and like getting through these hardships is what we're kind of supposed to experience here in some way, because they don't exist in that realm. That's something I feel very confident about. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It's a part of the ride, and it freaking sucks because there's a lot of shitty stuff. Sorry if I'm swear or whatever. forgot to ask, but there's a lot of fucked up shit in this world, you know, and none of it's okay. And it sucks that it's a part of the experience, but unfortunately, and in some ways, in some respects, like, fortunately, it's the power of feeling that we have. That's like a gift in this world. And I hate saying that. I don't know. Like, I feel like spiritually bypassy by being like, oh, it's all about the feelings. But it's like, it is. It sucks. Like, when I'm angry, when I'm sad, when something's happening, I feel alive, you know, and it's fucked up. But it is the way it is, at least in my life. I don't know.
Well, I think that, you know, we wouldn't, with emotions, when we don't express them, that's like bypassing, right? But when we're like embracing them, I think that's what helps us heal through the things that we're going through in life. And, you know, it feels like with the space where you can sit and you can receive information to kind of get you on your path and guide you would be an amazing tool to put in your tool belt, you know, to have, to be able to really navigate through life.
Yeah. And you know, like, the best, my favorite thing about like being introduced to the Akasha and getting to know this vibrational frequency and incorporating it in my life is that I have realized my personal unique expression, you know? And I feel like that's what it does for people, where we all know we are unique beings. We all know there's nobody else like us. We know that we're here to show the world who we are. But a lot of times, like, we conform to these societal ideologies and, you know, we put ourselves in a box. And when we get to, like, connect with our soul on this level, where we go on like a, in like, space journey and connect to the earth at the same time kind of thing, like, it really, that perspective allows one, or at least myself, to allow freedom with my choices and my likes and dislikes, and to be who I am, like, really who I am, not the box that was created for me, but what I'm supposed to be before I came here.
Does the Akasha kind of give you this really clear, it? Okay, so this is what I'm, like, seeing right now, almost as if there's this big scroll. And maybe this is my, like, more analytical mind that's coming through. But there's, like, this big scroll of records that, you know, we can look at and just, like, scroll down and be like, yes, okay, I did that back in a past life, or I did this, or this is what that's coming from. Or is that kind of what you get?
Well, it depends, because everybody has their own perspective. And, like, you know, some people see a library or whatever. Yeah. My personal experience, like, is more... like remote. It's like, it's not like seeing a scroll or anything like that. It's channeling the frequency. So if I ask a question about right. a past life, it unravels slowly. Like, the whole thing isn't shown to me all at once. And, like, it'll go, for me, like, I see the story being told where, for some people, I know that they just get, like, a full-on feeling, like, it all comes at once and it's a lot of information. But generally speaking, too, the way, I don't think I even talked about this, because you mentioned the masters, teachers, and loved ones earlier, and that is a teaching by Dr. Linda Howe, who is actually my teacher. But the energies that are interpreting the Akasha to us, are more of, like, a spiritual team that have nothing to do with the Akasha. So it depends on where your intention is and who you're calling in and what energies you're working with to, like, attain the information. So for me personally, like, I connect with this woman who was in the dreams that that other lady I was telling you about was having. And she's helped me a lot. And I connect with my grandfather who brings information forth. So the energies that are giving you the information will give it to you differently. So you might experience something different based on where you're receiving the information from. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I absolutely get it. I mean, it feels like this kind of, if everything is kind of this one energy, then it really doesn't matter where it's coming from, but it's coming from some vibrational source.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I intentionally call on Ananda Mahima, who's the woman who is a real person who was in this dream. And I didn't know about her, and the woman having the dreams didn't know about her. But we were in the exact town in India where her body lays when she was having these dreams. So I know there's like some connection there, and I've been calling on her. And you know, and my grandpa, whenever my grandpa brings dreams, or not dreams, interpretations of what I'm asking for within the Akasha, it's always more comical and funny. And there's, like, something, you know, like, giggly that happens about it. So there's, like, all these different tones and ways of receiving the information.
Yeah. It's really incredible how there's, you know, so much. There's different ways that we can really take on some of this information. Cause, like, my previous understanding was a little more like there's these specific teachers that speak to everyone very specifically. That was my understanding. So thank you for breaking that down. Cause maybe that, you know, that was like, okay, well, I don't hear those specific people. And do they have a voice? Like, my logical brain wants to understand, you know, yeah. who they are, what their names are, what they are, yada, yada. So it's refreshing yeah. to have sort of this like maybe more fluid, flowy kind of relationship with the records that aren't so much strict to where, yeah. you know, because I do personally feel like I connect to that realm in many ways, you know, and because those instant like ideas or and I'm in meditation, then it's like, boom, boom, like I can feel. And as a creative and artist, like I can feel when I'm in that state, you yeah. know, and it could come through in many different ways. So I think maybe a lot more of us are connecting to them without maybe knowing, like you're saying.
Yeah, of course it's a part of us. Like mm-hmm. it's a part of every single human. Every single human already is connecting with it. Whether they're making it intentional or not, mm-hmm. it's like up to them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really do feel that these structures we put around spirituality in general are a little bit toxic and gatekeepy, and they keep people from mm-hmm. being yeah. able to like have the freedom to connect fully. So, and in regards to like the energies and masters and teachers and loved ones, like it's essentially what's happening. It is that, but I feel like the structure around it isn't very helpful, especially like when it comes to like the lords of the records, which is something that like people talk about. I'm like, there aren't lords like protecting like this vibrational frequency. There aren't like, it's not that scary. Like it's not a scary, mm-hmm. like it's already around you. Yeah. It's just going inward. And ultimately like the Vedas and all these like ancient scriptures that have these like ancient practices and techniques and all that stuff. That's essentially what they're teaching you, is like going inward and connecting with the earth and the ether at the same yeah. time.
Yeah. I think you'll laugh at this, but I really see a lot of this sort of, we've been kind of talking a little bit on the new age BS, gatekeeping, what have you. And yeah. I think a lot of it is our imaginations have run a little wild with some of these concepts, to where all this extra fluff is added on top of something that's actually really quite simple. And like we've just put on all these things, like the crystals, the tarot decks, the this, the that, the divination tools, like all these things that really are just fluff, because mm-hmm. we on the inside are actually the biggest tool that we can have.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's it. I completely agree with that. Yeah. And I feel like these tools and like practices and things come about to try to explain it a little, you yeah. know, to make it easier for people to connect. But I think it gets in the way.
Yeah.
And for some, it right. really works, right. but it's not for everybody. You just have to figure out what works for you. You know, for me, that stuff doesn't work. I came from a very religious background, and although I had fun, like I loved it. But as an adult, I'm like, I can't do that now. Like I don't believe in all the things, like, and I see right through what they were trying to say. But I feel like all the fluff creates too much like chaos around a really simple idea.
Because when you really break down any religion, spirituality or anything, when you take down all of that and even like deconstruct it even more, a lot of yeah. what everyone's saying is to just follow love too.
Yeah. You know? And look inward, because yeah. you are love. Yeah. It's just like, just go inward. Yeah. That's where it's at.
Yeah. In is where it's at. I love that. It's a great vision and way to kind of put it. So I really enjoy your perspectives on a lot of things. It's nice and refreshing to hear. Just the lightness that, and the simplicity and the reminder that, you know, we can have these, we don't need to be this guru or this, you know, big almighty teacher to be able to connect to some of these things. And, you know, I think like yourself, you know, you're guiding and helping support people get to that place so that they can initially go do that on their own, which I really feel like it's so much more powerful when you give the person the power back to themselves versus, you know, wanting to take this hierarchical structure and become this almighty like guru, you know? And
yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I stopped doing readings too. Like, I mean, everyone can do this.
Yeah.
Like, why? F marketing, you know, yeah. Like, I'm tired of everything being marketed. Like, I'm so sick of it. Mm. Let's create a sales funnel for Akashic Records readings. Like, how ridiculous is that? No, no.
Yeah, I actually used to do tarot card readings and I stopped for a long time too, because I was like, this is the same. Everybody can access it. You got to learn the basics, but like,
yeah,
it's something that, you know, I think, but I do think that for people who are listening who really don't have that understanding of the connection, you know, maybe someone who is totally like, I mean, a lot of our listeners, they've been on the journey for a while, but maybe somebody's newer here, hasn't ever heard of the Akasha before, you know, what would you say for them? Where would you say for them to start if they really want to start connecting with it?
Well, I mean, I would say, notice your breath. I would say just sit down, close your eyes, and just notice how you feel when you're sitting somewhere. Notice the vibrational frequencies that your body is emitting and how that feels. Notice where the tension is and why it's there and get rid of it. And then keep practicing that. Keep practicing that until you're feeling like you're opening up. You're able to speak up. You're able to love. You're able to be creative. You're able to be assertive. You're able to take care of yourself. You know, I feel like that's the beginning of it. Once that's just the beginning of everything. But that's where I would say to start. And also talking about sales funnels and stuff, but like marketing, I do have a little ebook. People want like a written out step-by-step thing, but you don't really need anything. And you know, the vibrational prayers or I call it the Akashic tap-in, which I channeled one of my own because I wanted like a non-dogmatic version of it so that it can be like all-inclusive. But all of these things are to train you to notice the feeling, the shift or the connection, whatever it may be. And they're kind of just like training wheels for the beginning. And after you use them enough and you can just like feel the shift or go to that place just with pure intention, then you don't need them anymore. So if you need that stuff, don't feel bad. Use it, get to build those muscles, build the spiritual muscles. But all the power, all of it is just sitting within you. Mm. You're the most magnificent thing. And you're amazing.
Yes, you are. We are amazing. I love that. That's great. Simple and definitely, you know, I think a good reminder of the simplicity of breath and how powerful breath can take us to this, you know, crazy place. I've been doing breath work lately because it's just been really supportive for me, bringing like fire into my body. And it's amazing what you really can do with breath, like really deep breathing and, you know, getting into this high state. And it's quite wild that we have this thing, you know. It's like, oh, I don't need to go, you know, get a fix. My fix is within me. I can create this fix, you know, and
it's insane.
But hey, you know, we're remembering, we're chatting about it. We're remembering this like tool that's right there inside of us. So this has been great. Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you.
We're coming up here on the top of the hour here. So I have a couple more questions for you before we say our final farewells, and hopefully it won't be final. Cause I think, you know, there's a good connection here. I think we should keep moving with this connection.
I like it. Yeah. I like it too.
Okay. So first of all, where can everybody find you? We'll put all your, you know, links in our show notes so people can get all that information, but go ahead, tell us where we can follow you, where we can get, you know, more information about everything that you're creating.
Thank you. I mean, everything's on my website at magicandklein.com. If you're into like social networks, it's Magic and Klein on Instagram. That's the only one I do right now. But yeah, keeping it simple.
Yeah.
That's it.
Amazing. All right. If you want to get like as imaginative, fun, playful, whatever you want to tap into for this vision, if you were to paint the picture for us of what you yourself would like to see as our new earth emerges, what would it look like to you?
Oh my gosh. for me, if this is such a beautiful question and like overwhelming, because I'm like so much and like, I would hope in a new earth and a new vision for all of us that people realize that they themselves are enough. They themselves are powerful, and that they themselves can fully love themselves. That's the main thing. And I feel like that is the root of it. And that's the seed of everything else to come. So I would hope for that on a new earth.
I absolutely love that you hadn't brought that on the inner space for us. All I think, you know, about. Absolutely. You definitely do. And we need that. We need that reminder to go within, because we can't create an outer beauty environment without an inner beauty environment. So I think that all those are so connected and so important. So thank you for that.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We're all holding that vision together with you. Remember, you guys are all enough. We're all enough.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. And you're loved. And you can love yourself.
You can. You have full permission to love yourself right now. As mm-hmm. you get off this mm-hmm. podcast, you get to go love yourself. That's your task right now.
Yeah.
You heard
go
it
go look
here
in
first.
The mirror and tell yourself you love you.
Oh, I love mirror work. That's something that it's powerful when you stare at yourself in your mirror and you're like, damn girl, you looking good today. I love you. Look at that face. You're so cute. You know, it's so much fun. You can have fun with it. And then it totally raises your vibration and your energy and you feel really good.
Yeah, good. I know. And then you can make decisions based on feeling good and not bad. And it just like has the biggest ripple effect in the world. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, to that world that we are calling in and painting a vision with each other, thank you. And I hope you all really enjoyed this podcast. I certainly did. Learned a lot. I feel like, you know, really get to like take some of this with myself too, because I'm always learning with you guys and your ladies and everyone listening. So don't forget to check out all of her work, everything, the show notes, everything. The link will be in the show notes. And I can't wait to dive deeper into your work and listen to your podcast. She's also a fellow podcaster called Magically Inclined, as we've mentioned several times. So check it out. I'm kind of excited to deep dive. And I will see you guys all next week. This has been so much fun. Thank you again for coming on. Oh, this was so much fun, Rahini. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
All right, everyone. See you next week. Bye for now.
Kulamana hana mana mele.